The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Welcome back to the Playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. I am Josh Zinke, Jeff Childs, Tony O, Matt Misler run the ones and twos.
Grow up.
We're looking at Michigan as they take on Louisville today at noon, 12:10 exactly. But the pregame starts at 11:30. That's when we go off the air right here on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA The Ticket. So we've talked Michigan. We've looked at Louisville. We've messed up their names. Louisville beat Jacksonville State. I didn't know that was a state.
Mango Mathiyang.
78-63.
Real quick, Miz, where did you find that?
That's off there. Got to be off their website, yeah.
It's off of the Louisville Cardinals website. So,
can you give me number 14?
Anas Mahmoud.
Not what you were thinking when we were talking about during the break. No.
Well, Anas, he's
not sphincter.
He has a lot of blocks, I believe, right now, and he's fouls a lot. 79 fouls for him, 62 blocks. That's for Anas Mahmoud.
Anas Mahmoud.
All right.
You want to know what my Mahmoud is right now?
Yeah, Anas, what's your Mahmoud?
It's excitement.
So Jacksonville State looks like they had three in triple or in double digits. As far as Louisville, four of them, 18 points, four.
Anas Mahmoud?
No. The guy you've been, Mathiyang. Go ahead, Miss.
Mathiyang.
Mango Mathiyang.
His name is Mango.
He likes mangoes.
And Spalding had 11 off the bench for 26 minutes. Johnson only played 13 minutes for Louisville, 6 points. They shot 48%, 31 for 64. Michigan shoots like they did against Oklahoma State. I believe they beat a lot of teams the way they shot against Oklahoma State.
What?
Defensively, Michigan has to improve on that big time. We know they won't win the rebounding war. So what can they do, Jeff Childs, to help themselves on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I think with all these big trees in the middle, that Michigan has played a lot of teams like this all year, and whether it's Caleb Swanigan with Purdue, they've faced off against Nigel Hayes, who's more of a shooting guard, more of a four than a five, and they've played players like this in the Big Ten all year. And I think what Michigan has shown is that, we've talked about this with Chris Young and Inside the Huddle, it doesn't have to be a straight up double team, but the way Michigan can rotate defensively down low and get that help side defense, right? That's been an issue for Michigan, as Mike and I have talked about. If Michigan doesn't get a secondary player to come over and double or at least bother one of these big men in the middle, it's going to be a long day for Michigan. So if they can force Louisville into tough shots under the basket, maybe get a steal or two with their quicker guards here and force more turnovers and then get out in transition, that is going to mitigate the rebounding battle for Louisville today. Because even if the Cardinals win the rebounding battle, if Michigan is scoring both in transition and on the three-point line and whatever else they're doing, I think that's going to offset any rebounding edge Louisville might have in the game.
All right, Tonio, your thoughts on how Michigan improved defensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the help defense is key, because we've seen quite a few plays over the season and recently where the help defense has been, you know, just like a little bit too slow transitioning down as someone's out on the three.
Yeah.
And so the what would have been the shooter can identify that and will drive down on the baseline and can either then dump it off or, you know, if they get close enough, take the layup themselves. So I think if they could, maybe be a little bit quicker in identifying when to rotate down, I think that would help. But,
All right, what about sending them to the line? What about having some of these guys that we have as bench players come in? Because they're only shooting 68.7 from free throw line. Donovan Mitchell, he's hitting 80% of his free throws. VJ King, 82%, but everyone's below that. What about that?
Anas
having Donald
Mahmoud.
Donald, or having some of those guys come in and use some of those fouls to send them to the line, especially early. Get them out of their game because they're not hitting the free throws, where we know on the other side Michigan can do it. Your guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think, and you have, that's a situation where I think John Beilein will have to pick his poison and pick his moments with how to do that, because while that's true, I think you can bring Mark Donnell in for some spot minutes defensively, maybe bring in John Teske, who's been a liability on the offensive end, but bring him in, and this would be have to be very, very strategic.
Give him a hockey stick.
Yes, put him in there defensively, and that's an interesting strategy, Jay-Z. I don't know if John Beilein would stick with that for an extended period of time, but if you bring those two guys in and maybe you have them rack up fouls and you send Louisville to the line, that could work for them. Now, this would have to be something that would develop, I think, more as like a late-game strategy.
So second half, second.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, something that could make a difference for Michigan in the second half. I would not venture to see them do that in the first half, but second half, I think that could be an interesting key. I don't know if John Beilein will go with that exclusively, but it's certainly something that I'm sure the coaching staff has looked at and they've researched. They said, hey, you know, these guys are terrible on the line. If we're in a tight game and we need to take some cheap fouls, take some non-shooting fouls, that's the time to do it.
Right, and we've seen that in other games in the tournament where they've only had a few fouls, and then you got to have all those stupid ones to get to 6-7 to get to the bonus, and then you have to hope they miss the 1-1 so that way you can go down. It hasn't worked, but I thought if you're only shooting 68%, as a team, and there's very few that are shooting over 80, that it might not, yeah, you're right. It's not going to be something they start off with. But in the second half,
if it's a close game?
A close game, or even if you want Louisville, you want to just kind of, and you're, like Terry Mills says, it's not just a, like that. You're not just going to throw your arm out. You're going to make sure, if you're going to follow them hard enough to where they're not going to make the shot, because that would be horrible. You don't want to follow them where they're shooting three.
You.
And then end up, go ahead and put them as a free throw line.
You.
And hopefully they can go ahead and miss them, and you can have the rebound, which you might have a better chance at than when you're just shooting regular shots.
Yeah, for sure.
You.
All right, so let's move around the rest of the tournament. Some other Big Ten teams are doing well. Wisconsin, I think we beat them by 18, but somehow they beat Nova yesterday. Your guys' thoughts on ruining my bracket?
Your bracket's ruined. I think a lot of people's brackets are ruined. I mean, give a lot of credit to give a lot of credit to Wisconsin, because the Badgers, boy, going up against the defending national champions, everything stacked against them to come into that game and knock off Villanova, who, let's be honest, did not play their best game yesterday. A lot of credit to Greg Gard and the staff there at Wisconsin for what they were able to do to have, you know, Nigel Hayes play the type of game he did and really frustrate Villanova, because the Big Ten is such a different style. I don't think Villanova has seen a team like Wisconsin all year. They were not prepared for the end of the game. Now, whether at the end of the game there was a foul down low on Villanova,
right,
other people can have an opinion on that. I think that was a foul. I think there was definite contact, and Villanova should have had shots at the end of that game. Tony, your thoughts?
I mean, I'm just impressed with the Big Ten. I think Minnesota's the only team that lost in the first round, right? And then Northwestern is the only Big Ten team that has lost in the second round so far. I really thought the Big Ten overall was a pretty poor conference just from watching them play all year. But, I mean, I guess it's not quite so simple, because now, you know, yeah, that Wisconsin game was pretty amazing. I mean, I give a lot of credit to them, because I did not think they were going to beat Villanova.
And how about that? Now the Big Ten has Purdue. They have Wisconsin in the Sweet 16 with Michigan State and Michigan chances to punch their ticket to the Sweet 16. And it was interesting. I heard Matt Shepard talk about it, and he said, yeah, early on in the year, I didn't think the Big Ten was an elite. I didn't think they were a great conference. But they have the type of style, you know, in our league, in the Big Ten, that is so tough for other teams physically to match up against, and where if you're a Big Ten team, you've seen that kind of physicality all year, and nothing is going to scare you. And Wisconsin went into that game with just no fear.
Right, and really down as the game went on, it seemed like Villanova started kind of like relaxing a little bit. Then Wisconsin went on a tear, and then Villanova woke up, and they're like, wait, it's over. It's too late. And Wisconsin, yeah, they keep moving on. As far as the Big Ten from start to finish, I think they're playing that. The only thing they do have to worry about is the refs. The refs from different conferences will stop the Big Ten's play. A little bit dirtier, a little bit more grit to it. And because of that, you're going to stop that. And if when they run into that, that's where you'll see a team like Wisconsin, who doesn't play the dirtiest ball,
Go ahead. I agree. But the nice thing about Michigan is that we are we are extremely conservative compared to most of the Big Ten when it comes to fouling. So I think it shouldn't affect us too much. But, yeah, I mean, down low, we've seen it in the past, too, where, you know, it seems like these Big Ten teams kind of get hosed a little bit, where the rules are basically different.
Kind of like Northwestern yesterday?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, let's talk about that game. Tony, I saw your brother. I feel bad that he was crying there. We had Flute Girl from Villanova a couple years ago, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we had your brother that was a Northwestern fan.
Yeah, and there was Julia Louis-Dreyfus, too.
Right.
Was in the crowd, and she was upset.
That kid, as Miz would say with the drop, that kid does need to grow up, right, Miz? Yeah.
But you go to those games, you've seen Northwestern lose how many games this year? 11 going into that game. Yes, they kind of did get bent over on that. I mean, that was wrong. It was Everyone saw it, but the officials tacked him up anyways, and that kind of ruined the game. Even though they didn't stop playing, it did kind of hurt him.
And something, Jay-Z, that you rarely see is that the head of officials after the game issued the statement saying, we screwed up. And I'm like, well, it doesn't really help Northwestern now. But, yeah, Northwestern, as we've seen all year, they're that pesky team that does not want to go away, and they have the type of players in Law and Lindsay that are just going to – they're not going to give up. They're going to keep fighting. And they were down something like – what was it, 22, 25 points? Yeah. And they got all the way back and got it to within single digits. So hats off to the Cats. That's great.
Yeah, no, I didn't want them to even be in the tournament just because of the history. So I'm totally fine with them being out.
Okay. We got a hater drop, Miz.
Grow up.
No, it's history. Come on. It's like you guys,
right.
I mean, all those years, and now that's just athletics. Gone. You know, I mean, that kid that was crying, right, he should have been just – ecstatic to be there.
Right, exactly.
I think of all the other kids in Northwestern fandom history that have never even been there.
Exactly, and that's what I said, Tony. I tweeted about this. I said, this kid is freaking out. This kid has got to get used to sports and his team's losing because that kid has known nothing but Northwestern being
you
in
just
the tournament.
Made the list.
Where if you have six generations of Northwestern fans, they know nothing but not being in the tournament. So that kid, I said he needs to pace himself. He's got a lifetime of sports disappointments. Calm down, kid.
Do you think CBS was wrong by just really blatantly just throwing him down? They threw him under the bus a little bit. Like, I can see that, oh, he's upset, put the camera on him, and then you see he's even getting more upset than you take it off him.
Grow up.
But they left it on him.
Yeah, they knew it. I think, you know, these TV companies, they know what makes good television. So when they pick people in the crowd, it's not just rant. I mean, they look for specific people.
They either find the most depressed people or they find the drunkest people. It's typically what it is.
That kid was not drunk.
Like the
are you sure?
I forget the kid's name, but you may know this gentleman, Tony, the Surrender Cobra from the Michigan State game, that poor guy, because that's the other thing about this media attention. That's going to follow him around, and that will follow this kid around. It will live in internet
infamy.
Oh,
it's a meme, yeah. Yes. It's a meme. So
he goes and plays for Northwestern, and then after every game they lose, he does that. So keep moving on, the Big Ten. Purdue, your guys' team, they won, and they're now – they'll probably take on Kansas or Michigan State. How do you like that they might play another Big Ten team in these, what, would it be the round of?
Elite Eight, I think.
Yeah, I think Sweet 16, right? Because we're at 64-32. Yeah, it'd be Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
Your guys' thoughts that Big Ten might be facing off against each other if Michigan State
I mean,
can get
since
the
they're in our bracket, I'd rather play them than Kansas. So
this is true.
So I would like that to happen.
So you want Michigan State, Purdue, Michigan all to be their final three of four in that side of the bracket?
Yeah, I mean, I think from like the advertising standpoint and from the, you know, from the NCAA, they probably don't want that to happen because then the bracket becomes entirely Midwest. Just because I don't want to play Kansas, you know, that would be
right. And your guys' thoughts on Purdue getting this far? You know, Swanigan, he's one of the best players in the country, but it seems like I was afraid that they were going to let down on themselves. One of those teams that kind of get there and they're just happy to get there, and you know,
we'd have the annual Purdue letdown.
Yeah,
yeah. But to your point, Jay-Z, about Big Ten teams playing in the Sweet 16 or in the Elite Eight, I would prefer that if those matchups happen, they were a little bit later. Whether it's the Elite Eight then or the Final Four, because the committee's purpose there is to try to avoid interconference matchups early. I think the Sweet 16 might be a little bit early for them to match up. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I feel like, all right, if you look around, what, Minnesota's the only one in the South? Am I correct? I'm correct. Yes. So why not move one of those other teams down to the South, especially a team like Michigan State, who, I don't know, they got a 9. I don't know if they deserved a 9. But obviously they beat Miami by 20 points. They look like a good team. But you could move them to the West, and that way, I mean, what, seven teams made it in? Two in each, and then one in the one. But no, let's go ahead and throw three in one, one in one, and then, yeah. So I guess it's Big Ten back, you know, but then it just does that help
athletics.
Make the Big Ten seem stronger to you? Are they a better conference than where I guess America was thinking they were?
I would say so for sure. I mean, you have two teams already in the Sweet 16. Michigan State and Michigan have a chance to get to the Sweet 16. I don't have it off the top of my head. What's the Big Ten like? 7-2 now? 8-2? So the Big Ten has shown up in the NCAA tournament. It's a little point of pride for Big Ten fans and Big Ten alumni because the whole national media was writing you off and saying that the Big 12 was the biggest and burliest conference. The ACC has the most talent top to bottom, Jay-Z. And so far, the Big Ten is showing up quite well in tournament.
7-3.
7-3. Thanks, Miz.
So do you think they can keep going on? Do you think this is everyone underrated them? I think we did here on this station from top to bottom thought, oh, it's a weaker Big Ten. You go into the tournament, they play tough against each other, but they're kind of eating each other up. And then go to the big dance, more likely we're going to see some more of these teams out than in at this point, and we're wrong on that, I guess. I think most of us are. I am.
Yeah, and I mean, in all the major conferences in the country, of course, you have ACC with all this great coaching talent with Mike Krzyzewski and Roy Williams and all of those coaches. But in the Big Ten, it's not like you have coaches and programs that haven't been there. I mean, Matt Painter and Purdue, yes, they've struggled in recent years, but they made some runs. John Beilein has taken Michigan to a Final Four and Elite Eight, and we all know what Tom Izzo has done.
Who?
We all know what Tom Izzo has done at Michigan State. So the Big Ten has the coaching prowess, and they have the history that they can get there. And I certainly think they do. I mean, they have gone on deep tournament runs before. I think I read somewhere that the Big Ten has had at least one team in the Final Four in five of the last six seasons or something like that. So the Big Ten has made deep runs in the tournament. This is not new to them. And frankly, the national disrespect is not new to them.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of the Big Ten coaches, did you guys see both Tom Crean at Indiana and Jim Gross at Illinois are out?
Ooh, yeah.
Right, and then Illinois went and hired Brad Underwood, who was...
They tried this once before. It did not work out to them after losing against Michigan. They would fire a coach. They hired Gross from Ohio, who just beat Michigan. And then Michigan beats Illinois. They beat Oklahoma State. I think they're trying that same formula to hire a guy that just went up against Michigan. Who knows what will work out for them this time. But after what we saw with Oklahoma State, Brad Underwood's a solid, solid coach. And I think he can – maybe this is kind of a running cliche because we've always thought that Illinois would be back as far as basketball. But maybe this is their guy to finally get them over the top. And as far as the Indiana job – that's a program that...
Yeah, your thoughts on Tom Crean as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I mean, Indiana, more than anybody in college basketball, I think, is holding on to this ideal of all the tradition they have. But if you look at it, Illinois has not been relevant since like the early to mid-90s.
Indiana?
Indiana, yes. Outside of maybe Tom Crean's Big Ten title team in 2013 where they beat Michigan. Indiana, more than anybody else, I think, holds on to this idea of what a great power they is. And Michigan has that tradition of football is, but the difference is Michigan has made a hire in Jim Harbaugh to get back to that. To be honest, I mean, I don't know who would want to come to Indiana other than Steve Alford, but he's at UCLA. He's in one of the best media markets in the country, and he's got the Bruins at elite status again, or at least building toward that. If I'm Steve Alford, I don't want to leave UCLA to go coach Indiana.
This is big time.
I mean, it's certainly relatable with the Michigan football situation over the past decade. But you know, I think that even though it's been tumultuous and there's now some from a lot of outsiders, at least they're, you know, from Indiana fans, from what I've seen, most of them like the administration. But even though there might be some issue, you know, in terms of, you know, how the athletic department is being led there, I still think it's got to be one of the top jobs in college basketball. Between, you know, the fact that you're in Indiana where people worship basketball, you got, you know, that the Assembly Hall, it's a great stadium. I mean, it's one of the best like name brands in college basketball, even though they've been pretty terrible for 20 years. So I think it'll be interesting to see who they hire. From the press conference, it sounds like they're going after someone who is, from what they've said, is it's going to take a while because the people who they're looking at are still playing basketball. So it's going to be someone either in the NBA or still in the tournament. So it'll be interesting to see, but I don't know. I've had mixed feelings about Tom Crean. Like, I think he's a nice guy, and I, you know, from what Jim Harbaugh and John Harbaugh, you know, I
other than
they
screaming
said,
at Jeff Meyer, you wrecked our program.
No, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Right, is like yeah. that just kind of, I don't know. Even if he was right factually, I just don't think that was the right thing to do. So I don't know. I've had mixed feelings about him. He's been kind of up and down as a coach too. I don't have the inside information like John, like Jim Harbaugh. I'm sure he knows a lot more about. Without a doubt, knows a lot more about how good of a coach Tom Crean is, but it seems like, you know, it was kind of up and down for the entire time that he was there. So
Tony, I think Tuell, I agree with you to a point. I would disagree. I wouldn't say Indiana's a top five or even top 10. I'd say Indiana's still a top 15 job, but if you look at the Big Ten pecking order, I don't know, Tony. I mean, I would say that Indiana is fifth or sixth as far as jobs in the Big
really?
Ten. Yeah, I would put Michigan State above Indiana now. I'd put Purdue above Indiana. I would put Michigan with what John Beilein has built them up to be, and of course Michigan State. I just don't have the confidence that Indiana, well, they have great history. They've had so many messes there, whether it's been Kelvin Sampson, whether it's now been Tom Crean, and they've not been able to get back to what they are. I mean, and the pressure from Indiana fans is so intense that I just don't see anybody who would want to enter into that unless you're Steve Alford. So I would say Indiana's maybe fifth or sixth in the Big Ten now.
Where do you rank them?
They have to be top five. When I think of the college basketball blue bloods, you're talking about, you know, Kentucky, Kansas, UCLA, Indiana, Duke. I mean, it's got to be top five. I mean, his salary alone was like more than $3 million.
So even
just on compensation alone. But then you add in, like I said, I mean, you're playing in Assembly Hall. You're wearing the candy stripe pants. It's a great tradition.
Yeah, but to what extent would you say that tradition will carry them? Because Indiana now, they've had trouble with coaching staffs. They've had the violations under Sampson. And now they're having trouble, I would say, recruiting their own state, which is one of the best producers of basketball talent. Now you have kids who'd rather go to Purdue. They'd rather go to Notre Dame. They'd rather go to Butler. So Indiana, both from a coaching and a recruiting standpoint, that's great. That's great that they have tradition. But how are they going to build back up that recruiting base and make Indiana a desirable place?
Fair enough. But then let me ask you this. So before the Jim Harbaugh hire, did you think that Michigan football was still a blue blood, was still an elite job in college football?
I would say yes.
But
the difference is there is that Michigan, outside of a witch hunt by a publication, did not have major recruiting issues. Yes, they had 7 or 8 bad years, but the thing with Indiana is they've had about 20 years of mediocre basketball, and Michigan's time period of being down was much shorter.
All right. Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to split the two up.
Okay.
I'm going to say Indiana's probably number two. I see Michigan State. Anybody wants to coach there, because when Izzo leaves, he's leaving the program in great health. Michigan, we know the problems Michigan has. They can't even figure out where to put their students. So I put them behind Indiana. Until they can figure that out, they're not ahead. They're not that. Where Indiana, like that, you know, I believe Dockage said, the fans show up, they go crazy at Indiana every time, no matter what. I think Indiana's probably number two. I don't think Purdue's the number two job. If Painter leaves, all right, they'll find someone, but is it going to be where Indiana, yes, they're going to have to pay, and Steve's not going there. He went ahead and cut his own salary or didn't take the bonus.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I said. There. He's staying at UCLA. You're in one of the best media markets in the country. You're bringing UCLA, also a tradition-rich power, back. No, I welcome that. I welcome that discussion. Good discussion.
Yeah, so. Good stuff. All right, let's take our next break. When you come back, we do have callers waiting online. You're listening to WTK's Playground.